The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
And folks, you're listening to The Good, the Bad, and the Boucherian.
Stay there, like forever. Mm-hmm. Look, so I'd say East London, just living in East London and experiencing the problems and challenges that, you know, were there, really pushed me to just be like, oh, you know, yeah, we have to leave this place. And quickly too. So let's do what we have to do so that we're out of here. And I think also the fact that a family friend, of course, who lived in East London as well, was stabbed when they were coming back home from work, and luckily they survived. Now that really that sealed the deal. It was like, yeah, we are getting out. We're getting out, and we're not and we're not looking back. Yeah, and there's a time a teacher asked, like he was going around the class and asking everyone what type of car they have in the house, and you know, in that, yes, in that same class, there are people who do not have a car, and so obviously the people who will be honest and say no car. And I remember, like, it just felt so wrong. And now we'd watch others lie about the car that they have just to not feel bad about themselves. But it was discrimination from start to finish. I did well in my, I just don't like talking about it on my days. I did really well. Like, I got crazy marks. I was the best in my class, of which I had never in my entire life been the best in my class. In my whole life, I'd never been the best in my, since nursery, I'd never been the best in my class. But then here's KCPE, and suddenly I'm the best in my class.
Just tell them.
I don't like saying it because I feel like it usually just comes back to haunt me like it did.
But it's the truth.
Okay.
Me for that, I'm gay, Lala. You're going to another podcast about 10 years. Just tell them.
Okay. Billy insists that I tell his listeners that, okay, I was the best in my class. I was the best in country-ish, which today I still don't believe. Like, imposter syndrome said, girl, you know, you're copying. How are you the best in the country? Just keep quiet.
What but do you put in the work? What do you mean?
I did, but just to get to a good high school. Me, this other thing that happened, I don't. But yeah, that was that. So I usually just don't like identifying with that particular moment, not that I'm not thankful, but because it just wasn't what I wanted. Like, I just never want to be in the spotlight or never want people in my business, but now here everyone is in my business. Like,
it's your boy Billy back at it with another episode. Hope you guys are keeping well, keeping safe amidst the pandemic, and things are going well on your side as they are on mine. Finally, we're on our 90th episode. Who'd have thought that would reach this far? I can't believe we only have 10 more episodes to our first century episode. But my guest in studio today is Tracy, a fourth year student at Uriah University, pursuing her bachelor's degree in international relations and diplomacy. She says she's very passionate about the United Nations sustainable developmental goals and the achievements so far. And she's a lover of love, all things literature, and is married to music. Guys, I can testify of this. She has very good music taste. And she walks us through a glorious time in her life and how she didn't let it define her and what she wants to do. And you'll hear a lot about her story in today's episode. So, Tracy.
Tell me about little Tracy, the reader, the overachiever,
Tell me a bit about her.
Well, okay. I feel like the best way to start that conversation will be from something my mom said recently, actually. It's when now my little nephew, you know, he's growing up. He's like 9 months now, and we're so excited, and he's almost walking. And so my mom was giving a narration of now the other, like all of us, her kids, when, you know, we were about to start walking and all of that. And she was like, you know, Tracy, by the way, you know, you didn't crawl. You just stood up and walked.
Really?
Yes, yes. That's what she said. She was like, a friend of hers came to visit, and I don't know how many months I was. And she was like, you know, at this time, she should be walking. And I didn't really like that lady. And my mom said, Nilikasirika, and I just walked to her. And that's how I just started walking as a kid. I never crawled.
Hey.
Yeah.
And that's when they knew.
Yeah. And I just didn't crawl. I started walking, and that was that. And so I feel like she just mentioned this year. Like, I never knew about that story. Like, how would I know? I was what? I was children. I was barely a year old. Uh-huh. And I didn't know. But when she mentioned it and I look back, I feel like that moment has defined my life in like ways I just can't start explaining, because I feel like that's the type of person I am. Like, I do things on my own. I create my own path. I just start my own, I just do my own thing, in short. Like, I usually don't follow, you know, a certain kind of, you know, criteria and everything. I just create my own path and map it out and just follow that. Yeah. So, yeah, can start from there. And then now we go to little me. So
I was hoping you tell me. I didn't say a first word. I said a first sentence. But okay.
Oh, come on. Billy, wow. This is the first sentence. No, Billy, you're being too much.
Maybe. I can't underestimate you. Now that you did call, let me not underestimate you.
No, we would have to check in with my mom on that.
We will.
We'd have to check in. If I said a word or a sentence. Or I just started speaking.
True.
Yeah. Uh-huh. We'd have to like check in with her. But ideally, when we just go back to the type of child I was, okay. Again, I usually just felt a bit different. Like, I just never used to have any of these things that the kids would have. Like, you know, there's a time that we had these two bags that you just pull, like a trolley, and they were drawn Hannah Montana, all that good stuff, Mickey Mouse. I never used to have that. There's a time we had this wave of pen pencils, these pencils that you write, and then, you know, when the I don't know what it's called, when it ends, it runs out, you small thing, and then you put it on top, and then a new one pops in. I didn't have all that. Like, I just feel like I always just felt different. Like, I was just existing in school. I was just, you know, doing my homework. I never missed school. I think I missed school once in primary school. Like,
literally once.
In primary school, like once, like, and I that time I didn't even know what was going on. I'm not sure what the issue was, but it was just a very odd reason. I think it was, I'm not sure of the reason, but I missed school once, and I never not completed my homework.
No yeah. way. The whole primary, yeah. Even the ones in the math teachers.
Like, you can call them up and ask them. I was never thrown outside for lack of doing homework or beaten up. I don't recall. Or even if I did, it would be, I don't know, maybe once or twice, but I just don't recall. At times, I was like, oh, I was shaking as I'm walking into class because, okay, I have not finished my homework. Like, never. Yes, so that was me, and little me, I was just existing. Like, I don't think there's just anything that I was doing different from others, but I was just existing, and I was a good girl. Let's call it that.
Yes.
I was a good girl, you know, teachers, parents, that's what they call us. You know, I was a good girl. I was a good girl, and I just used to always do extra, okay, also extra. But this, I'm talking about this, the later years of now, Nini, my childhood. Because now the earlier years, I really can't recall, because I just know I was just a child existing, and I always felt different.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something that our school used to do, which was separate the bright, smarter kids from the less smarter kids, in their opinion, in terms of the examination. So it was a really very bad mechanism that I've even heard of my other friends who weren't necessarily my school speak of the same. And what that used to do was it just created a sort of reverence from these other kids to us guys who are also normal kids, in that, oh, these are the smart guys, these are the people who, you know, they do so well in examinations, like us, we're just the others. Like, it was a really bad system, but it always used to be like that. And even in class, we used to have this thing where you're arranged according to your position in class. So if you drop, yeah, it's going to be visible, and like the teachers will be on your case.
No way.
Yeah, it used to be like the pressure was worse, like 10, 30 million times. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So we used to have that system, and it used to just be problematic. It used to feel wrong, but there's just nothing we could do.
Yeah. And
Also, like, another thing that is important to note is that we never used to have extracurricular in primary. It was just books. It was just books. I used to even have an extra bag for books, because we used to carry kamusis. We used to have three kamusis. Yeah, Misemo, Methali,
uh-huh.
Yeah, Sanifu. So I used to have now a different bag for books. And two bags for books. And then, like, now for food, it will also be in that extra bag. But the books were so many that we had another bag for the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was just fully intensive, like, reading and studying. And in now the later primary years, like class 7 and 8, we used to write compositions and inshas every single day. We used to repeat compositions and inshas, like after they have been marked, and the teacher is not pleased with your composition, you repeat. Like,
I can't, my brain is already even tired trying to concentrate like that.
Exactly. It was just full on studies, like every minute, every second, it was full on studies. And so, and then, like, now for me, as you've called me an overachiever, which I don't think I am. As if called an overachiever. Now, me, I also used to do extra work, and mm-hmm. I used to do the most when I got home. Like, every single night, my mom would have to, like, wake me up from where I was studying so that I go and sleep. And even, like, when I've been woken up, sometimes I used to feel like I still haven't done enough. I still haven't, you know, pushed enough, hard enough. You know, like, that's what I used to do. Like, my mom used to just come and, like, wake me up. Every time, especially class 7 and 8. And then my mom is FDA, and so she had this is really like an advent calendar, something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And now it used to have Bible verses every single day for the whole year. So that's what I used to use, because I actually didn't have time to just go to church or anything, because Saturdays we were in school till 4 p.m. Yeah.
So, uh-huh.
Yeah. So, like, obviously, because my mom was this day, she, like, forced us to be, because my dad isn't. So there's that clash. And so I just couldn't go, like, I couldn't miss school to, like, go to church. It was crazy. But now we had that advent calendar, and now that's what I used to use to guide my devotion and just feel closer to, you know, supreme being in these hard times when you're ready for this big ass exam that they've told us, you know, if you don't, you're going to die. Like, actually, that is that's how they made the situation to look like, you know, if you don't do this, like, you're about to die, like your life will be over. That's what's up. So they made it seem like that. So it was full on like pressure. It was so bad, so bad. And yeah, so that's how I can just see how my life was. But I just knew that I really worked hard and I knew what I wanted to do. And I used to, you know, right now we call it manifesting, but now I used to profess it every day as I walk to school, because I used to walk to school. Yeah, it was not far.
Wait, so you used to walk to school with two bags?
Yes, every single day, every day, sir, every day.
No way. Yeah, you know, those books are very heavy. Just exactly. So how?
Yeah, so now these are three kamusis, two and zero, two up, and then maybe you have a dictionary, and then you have all these other books and everything. So it was, yeah, I used to walk to school. And then we also used to have intensive math lessons and everything. Like every single Monday morning, we had a math triple lesson. So we'd have math from 6 a.m. to 9, I think. Yeah, and we'd just do math. If you fail a sum, you're beaten, you move. And that time, if you had made your hair the previous weekend, the pain you'd endure from, you know, thinking about math, doing the math, and doing the math, and now being beaten, no, brutal. Brutal is all I can say. Yes, yes, yes.
And so for you, mm-hmm. You thought about at the time you knew what you wanted to do and become. No.
Mm-mm. I didn't know what I wanted to become. I just knew where I wanted to go. Like, I just knew where I wanted to go. And I was like, I have to go to Kenya High. Like, I said, I have to go to Kenya High. I can't. Like, I don't see any other school. I just have to go to Kenya High. And this is what happened in MOOCs. You know, MOOCs, they usually very intense, very, very intense, very, I don't know. MOOCs are usually weird. And then now, you know, the teachers are usually like, you know, MOOCs are the ones that will define what you'll get. So whatever you get in MOOCs, yeah, it's what you get in the exam. In the
final grade, eh?
Yeah. So I remember in MOOCs, me, I failed. Like, I literally, like, chini, kichwa chini, migu juu. Failed.
Failing at rest for 50. I felt so bad. I got an 98 in maths.
No, Billy, hear me out. I was actually number 16 out of 24 people. That is failing. I remember very well. I was number 16 out of 24 people, and I was just like, you know what, sister, see, we just look at precious blood doesn't look so bad. Yeah, it's a nice county school, so, you know, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. And then now I remember it was the time to, I don't know, was it revise the schools you wanted or choose? I'm not sure, but it was after MOOC, I remember. And then now literally, the head teacher was telling me, you know, that these other people who performed well, G number what, where, they have chosen Kenya High School and Alliance. So we don't want you to miss. So please put Loreto. Put Loreto Limuru on that paper. So you know, I was sad. I was like, you know, I want Kenya High. I want to go to Kenya High. I was just like, you know, this is it. This is what that's what I want. But now I had to change and I put Loreto. So I remember I went home and told my mom, they told me to change and put Loreto, but me, I wanted to go to Kenya High. My mom was like, Tracy, you said you want to go to Kenya High. You're going to put that Kenya High and you're going to work for it. So you have to go and change. Tell them you want to go to Kenya High and you have to change and now you have to put it. And now that's how I put Kenya High, and yeah, I made it there.
Hey,
yeah.
But before I even ask you questions on that part, talk to me a bit about did you ever experience parental pressure, or where did this drive for you to go to Kenya High? You knew where you wanted to go come from. Because I remember for me at the time, I was very young. So I had just tunnel vision. I didn't even see beyond KCPE. I just wanted to pass KCPE, but I wanted to go to this high school or whatnot, this passion you have. So for you, where did that drive come from?
Okay. I think I'd start with living in Eastlands will give you drive. Living in Eastlands and experiencing the challenges, the unsafetiness of it, sometimes the water issues, like the water issues are not Eastlands for you people in Langata at ECG coming once a week. The water issues were actually water issues where, you know, akuna maji. And then, like, just the environment just tells you, you know, we need to get out of here and quickly too. And now the only way for some of us is, you know, academics, like, just pave your way into this system and just find a way to just make money and just never look back to, like, not never look back to Eastlands, but, like, you just don't want to stay there. Like, whatever. Look, so I'd say Eastlands, just living in Eastlands and experiencing the problems and challenges that, you know, were there, really pushed me to just be like, oh, you know, yeah, we have to leave this place and quickly too. So let's do what we have to do so that we're out of here. And I think also the fact that a family friend, of course, who lived in Eastlands as well, was stabbed when they were coming back home from work, and luckily they survived. Now that really that sealed the deal. It was like, yeah, we are getting out. We're getting out, and we're not and we're not looking back. Yeah, and I remember me. I wanted to be a civil engineer. I wanted to be a civil engineer because the roads in Eastlands are very wanting, and now, you know, you see the roads are terrible and we mix it with rowdy matatus. It's just a pandemic. So I was like, hey, no, I want to be a civil engineer so that I just fix the roads around, you know, home and all of that, you know, that good old stuff of charity. And then you go to high school and you're like, you know, sciences are not our skill set. We are us people. We just accept. She just accepts. So I had to come to terms with the fact that sciences weren't really it for me in terms of even like enjoying the subject. Like, just, you know, the way that people who are so passionate about chemistry, about, you know, physics, about just the sciences, that's people who are passionate about and they can talk to you day to night about it, and you know, they love it. And me realize, Mimi, I'm a language girl, and I love my arts. I love my arts, and so I had to come to terms with that. And yeah,
so that's this is the part you apologize to Icelandic people if they don't have a problem. Now, this is the part. Just tell them. Well,
I tell them, hey, you guys, I train the best. Luckily, Kidogo, I could work out. So here we are. And all my days. Yes, that is part of the that is part of the bigger plan, obviously. Yes, because I have a very strong relationship with my books. You should know that by now. Yeah, that's part of the plan. So basically, I just had to come to terms with, you know, sciences aren't it, so I have to just face arts. And now that cost, I wouldn't say fight between me and my parents and even the world, because the world was waiting for me to do a big course. The world was waiting for me to do a big course, you know, like just the straight line, like the way I've told you, like I am not a person to just follow this path that has been carved out for me. I am someone who creates my own path and just walks in it. It doesn't matter will be saying what. It just doesn't matter. I'll just keep going. I'll keep going. So the fight was, okay, here's the thing. Obviously, for people who are quote unquote intelligent, they do not expect you to do anything other than I'm not sure if there's a big five anymore, but if you're not doing engineering, if you're not doing medicine, if you're not doing computer science, the other thing you can do is law. To my funga chapter for quote unquote intelligent kids. That's how it is. Like, that's how it is for most people. That's just how it is. And of course, that's how it was for me. So after like everything, me was like, you know, me, I want to be a diplomat, and I have decided, yeah, nimeamua, and that's the path I've chosen. And so it's they start the lecture, they tell you, oh, you know, you can do it after, you know, just do law first, and then now from there you can just move on to whatever it is that you want to do. I was like, no, I want to be a diplomat, and I'm going to do it as my first thing. And so it was just back and forth until they were like, you know what, sawa, enda.
Pause. Before I even ask you that, there's a lot of things we've skipped. By you didn't tell us eventually, did you get into Kenya High? Perhaps my audience there know. Again, talk to me a bit about that segregation system, because I was talking to a friend of mine who also experienced that same system.
Mm-hmm.
For them, in the moment, it felt like a good thing, because they felt, because now they're praising, you guys are being praised. For the ones who are in top class, you're feeling, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and this whole discussion about academic validation. So they're feeling really good. And then in hindsight, definitely when you realize how bad it was. Yeah. Because when you talk to your friends who are probably in other classes, they tell you about how bad they used to feel, how put down they used to feel. So talk to me about what little Tracy, if perhaps, what was going through her mind. Was she very aware that this system probably was not the best thing? Or for her, she's just, I much didn't even have anything to think about it. And then again, with that, talk to me a bit about, again, Eastlands, where for me, I remember my first experience growing up and actually realizing what the world actually is probably high school. And I got to meet people from different walks of life and all that. Yeah. You know, the whole culture shock, high school jazz when you go to a public school. So for me, that's when I think I don't know, call it adulting, but became more aware of the world even, right? But for you had to become aware of this much earlier and worked harder. So for you, do you think that was for the good for yourself? Do you feel like a bit of your innocence was taken away now that you saw some of these things happening in 4K, these things about poverty, these things about your family friend being stabbed, you know, some of those things that probably might be PG content for children. So tell me a bit about that.
Okay, first of all, I feel like the thing about just separating the the quote unquote, I put in quote unquote because I believe everyone is intelligent, just the levels vary, and not everyone is book smart and all of that. So now this separation of, you know, the smart kids, quote unquote again, and now the others, was really bad, because for our school it was actually worse, because now for us we had two schools, and one school was for the smart kids and the other school was for the other kids. And now in now the
schools, actually I thought it was classes. No way.
Hey, let me tell you, Billy. Okay.
Tell me.
Hey. Sasa, now the smart... Okay, here's the thing. In Eastlands, we have the better parts of Eastlands and then the other parts of Eastlands. So, for the better parts of Eastlands, in Kina, Buruburu, Umoja, all of that, like the ones that are closest to Joguru, that's the better parts of Eastlands, Kina Donholm. And then now... the other parts of Eastlands, we have now from Kina Umoja, we go to Komarock, we go to Kayole. Sasa, the thing was, we had Newlight Komarock School and Newlight Kayole. Now, Newlight Komarock was for the smart kids. Newlight Kayole was for the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember there was a time where I think people really came for the school because of that, and now they had to even in terms of registration, we had different index numbers from people from Newlet, Kayole, and were literally in the same. It's the same school, and so people came for them, and they were like, "This is wrong. You have to register the school to be one, and everything." So that was that. So already, our environment was amazing. It was, you know, Komarock is better part of Eastlands, and then now there's Kayola, which is noisy and full of people and full of buildings, just all that stuff. So already there was that. It was so glaring. It was just present. It was like, you know, you guys are just, because you people are, you know, quote unquote, less intelligent than these other ones will have this nice treatment, they'll have this nice school, all of that. And it was just so bad. So with that, there's no way you as a person who's aware, you'll be like, okay, you just sit down and be like, this is totally normal. It was not. So that, I feel like it was really bad. And then now we go back to, now in class, now you're arranged according to, from number one all the way to 24, you know, now, or like you're arranged in that way. So basically, I feel like the system was flawed in this sense. First, because the people who are considered to be very smart, that is, let's start with now the class. The people who are considered to be smart sit with other smart kids. And now the ones who need a little bit of help are sitting with others who also need a little bit of help. So where is the exchange happening? Where is this one building the other? You know, that was lacking. And now from now this, our class now to the other classes, now they also separated. Like now there was from now this smartest class, there was smarter class and then another. Like it was a whole, I don't know. It's like, let's say from number one to 200. So everyone from 1 to 50 has a class, 50 to 100 has a class, even how it was. And that system was very flawed and unhelpful, and it made people feel less than, and it was just not really nice. And even now in the class, when you're arranged according to the number you are in an exam, you just feel also less than, because now, like, everybody knows, all the teachers know, if you dropped, all the teachers will know, and they'll come for you. So I just feel like that system was very flawed and problematic and unhelpful. I really hope that they scrapped it off. And then another thing with Eastlands and just learn, like having these challenges and just learning that, oh, we have to get out of here. I think another thing the school contributed to, like this like feel of let's get out of Eastlands, because we used to have school buses, and now these school buses, now depending on which part of Eastlands you're coming from, you would have the best bus, the best, you know, the biggest bus with a system, a big bus that has a name. And then now the others who are from this, the least part of Eastlands, would have an old bus. And most of the times, the people who are from the least good sides of Eastlands would be more than the people who are in the better sides of Eastlands. So now they give the people who are in the least, okay, this other side of Eastlands, a small bus, and then now people understanding, yeah, there are more. And then now these other ones who are, you know, from Kinaburuburu, Don Home, bigger buses, yet they are not as many as, you know, say, for instance, people from Kayole would be given a really tiny bus and they'd end up standing up. It was just so crazy. Like, it was discrimination from start to finish. I just know. Yeah. So you can imagine someone who is just, you know, like who innocently lives in maybe, say, Kayole or Komarock or in, like, just all of that. Okina Ruai and Joska. And, you know, then they're just trying to get an education, but then you're huddled in a very tiny bus and you're seeing people from Buruburu, Umoja getting, you know, bigger buses. Discrimination on all levels was so glaring. It was crazy. And also some teachers used to fuel the discrimination because there's a time a teacher asked, like he was going around the class and asking everyone what type of car they have in the house. And you know, in that, yes, in that same class, there are people who do not have a car. And so obviously the people who will be honest and say no car. And I remember like it just felt so wrong. It just felt so wrong. And now we'd watch others lie about the car that they have, just to not feel bad about themselves. But it was discrimination from start to finish. So I just think the system is flawed. 844 obviously is flawed because it just encourages, the people who are able to retain information, but doesn't encourage, you know, others who really aren't able to retain information, but the brain is able to come up with something. The brain is able to create something, make something out of nothing, make art, make music. Like 844 doesn't really like champion for that, and now it just makes the whole system flawed. And now my school made things worse. So yeah, here we are.
I didn't know it was that deep. Like that was
It was crazy. It was crazy. Like I know like so many people who are in my school can relate to just that level of feeling less than, you know, you have to be a certain way. And then obviously I feel like every single thing we did in that school kind of just went back to how much money do you have in your house, because even we had the closing days and you had to come with snacks. I know many people have this, and so now if you come with your little snacks, which you know your parents have fought heaven and earth to be able to provide, and then now if someone else comes with CG, two paper bags from Nakomat, you know those days we had Nakomat, two paper bags from Nakomat, and you have your Kawan bag.
Small bag of amigos.
Yeah, and amigos is the one that's making the bag. Look, at least it has things. So it was really bad. I'm telling you, it was really bad. So Upate, you're not really, I don't like using the word academically gifted, but I just think about it. You're not, you know, that smart. You're not from a good family. You're given the worst bus. You know, you don't have the newest uniforms. I mean, your shoes don't even have the buckle. Like, just imagine. Like, I don't know. It was bad. It was bad. And I'm just so glad I'm out of that place. And actually, I've never talked about it. That's the craziest thing. I feel like my friends will listen to this podcast and be like, oh, we didn't know. Why didn't you
it's
tell
an
us?
Honor. It's an honor.
Yes,
they should know their
place now. Yeah, they'll Billy, it's like you want me dead. Anyway, I feel like it's just very, it's I'll very therapeutic. It's very therapeutic to actually talk about it because, you know, now these are the things, that build trauma. Like, these are the things that, you know, just kind of fuel the way you react to things, the way you do things. So it was a flawed system. My days, it was bad. It was bad. Mm. But you know, we are out here. We did what we needed to do in the school
as well. I can just imagine. Newfound. Mm-hmm. I don't want to term them as newfound hobbies, but. How mm-hmm. did you find the things you enjoyed outside academics? So, as you even said, on the weekends, you are reading. Your mom had to wake you up. I'm just imagining.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It was too much. Like, I remember even there's a time my mom was like, okay, my child, just please go sleep. It's 3 a.m. or something. Just go sleep. Like, she's
and then you're waking up to be in the class by 6 a.m.
That's for crack. Math triple.
That's crack. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm managing. I'm managing, and we are moving. We are moving. That's all that matters.
Of importance is life at this point.
Hey, of importance is life. Okay, what did you ask?
About I laughed so much. I forgot hobbies. And ooh, now yes. Even that, mm-hmm. And also add mm-hmm. now that you mm-hmm. love reading. Do you think it stemmed from mm-hmm. that? Now reading had to be was a necessity, and now you found a way to start enjoying reading, because you know for some people if you're forced to read mm-hmm. so much you just hate reading. Exactly. So for you, is it a consequence of that, mm-hmm. or do you just love reading naturally? You know, now that you said a first sentence of a first word,
really surely. Okay, I feel like now we can give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and say that the positive aspect of, you know, that that separation was that you'd find people who are similar to you, like people who, you know, yes, they are, we're out here being, you know, forced to be a certain way, like you have to get a certain percentage in math, in composition, all of that. So you find that you have similar interests, and now that's reading. And now reading now in primary was an escape from like all of these other things that are going on in our lives in school and, you know, maybe at home, depending on the type of home you're from. So books were an escape, because here you are having, you know, these pages to cling on to and form this perfect life. For instance, if it's a romance novel, you're forming this perfect life of these people who, you know, they someone is crossing a road and then they fell their books and then someone helps them and then, you know, the eye contact. the eye contact and, you know, and from there, you know, they fall in love, get married or something. So here you are, you're creating a perfect, like, you're living in fiction. That's what I can call it. You're living in fiction. So it just provided that needed escape, because here we do not have CG extracurricular. We don't have swimming. Like, our school had a swimming pool, but we did not have swimming. And no, then, I'm so serious. We did not have swimming. So you do not have a channel. And even the 3 days that you have, it's Sunday. And Sunday, you're trying to see whether you can make your hair. You're battling with all the six we need to call them assignments, let's be honest, homeworks that you have. So Sunday, the one day you're meant to be free, you are battling and trying to finish all your homeworks. Otherwise, the next day you'll be beaten. So it was crazy. So you needed something that will just keep you sane, just the right amount, because also that wasn't enough, but it worked. So reading was a form of escape. And there's a friend of mine who, bless her soul, obviously through a lot of reading you're able to write. So Hush used to read books really fast. Like, she did a 400 page novel in 2 hours when she's heading home. And I'm like, sis, what do you mean? So she used to go to the library and borrow books, actually. And so from her, we would get books. But then we also used to read our own books, which was compulsory because of writing compositions and initials. So we'd read the books that were entitled Pesitas. Now the different variations of Pesitas, we read like millions of those books to help with our composition. And for what is it called, Inshas, we had to read, you know, our good old Ken Walibora, who I love very much, may his soul rest in peace. We read like most of his books, if not all of his books. Yeah, so aside from now the academic part, it was just really a form of needed escape from all the things that are going on in our life in school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, that was up. That's where the reading came from. And now I remember in when I got to high school, now I'm reading, I divorced reading. Yes, I divorced reading for like 4 years and then I remarried
Really?
reading.
I can't believe. What do you mean?
I
How come?
remarried reading. I don't know. I feel like after the whole class 18, it was very intense. It just was very hard on me because now my life was out there for everyone to see. My life was out there for everyone to see. Yes, I'd gotten what I wanted, which was Kenya High. But now these other things, which many people would be very happy about, many people would love to have been a part of that. Like, I usually even don't talk about it. I don't mention it because I usually don't like to identify. It just really scarred me. And these are some of the things that I need to, talk about in therapy. Like, yeah, it was a really dark time, especially for one. It was dark. It
Really? Tell me about it. Now that, okay, so let me just
was
tell the listeners. So she got finally to Kenya High. Good news. All this, all the toiling worked. So to you said you knew where you wanted to go, and this was Kenya High. And finally, you got
Yes.
into Kenya High. But you've said that Kenya High for at least your first year was very underwhelming. Tell me a bit about that.
Overwhelming. I wouldn't call it that, but then here's the thing. I did well in my. I just don't like talking about it on my days. I did really well. Like, I got crazy marks. I was the best in my class, of which I had never in my entire life been the best in my class. In my whole life, I'd never been the best in my, since nursery, I'd never been the best in my class. But then here's KCPE, and suddenly I'm the best in my class. And the
Utakusema
best.
best also where?
Wait,
It's a safe place. Just tell them. Just tell them.
I don't like saying it because I feel like it usually just comes back to haunt me like it did
But it's
in
the truth. Me
okay.
for that, I'm gay, Lala. You got another podcast about that anyway. Just tell them.
Okay, Billy insists that I tell his listeners that okay, I was the best in my class. I was the best in country-ish, which today I still don't believe. Like imposter syndrome said, "Girl, you're capping. How are you the best in the country? Just keep quiet. What
But
do
you
you
put in the work. What do you mean?
I did, but just to get to a good high school. Me, this other thing that happened. Yeah, I don't because I'm just one person. Like, I don't like, people in my business, I'd say. I just like doing things at my own pace for me, by me. So when that happened, when now you're the best in the country, I remember my mom slept on the phone, like everyone's calling her. All the relatives that I don't even know their names to date were calling her. Everyone, even her customers were calling her, like every person. Like, she slept on like a phone charger on the socket, just answering call, like answering calls. And everything was moving so fast. Like, everything was moving so fast. I remember even the day for results, I wasn't even at my house. I was at my auntie's place. I was having a good time, kidogo, I'm hearing the Minister of Education wants to announce results, and I'm like, eh, okay, this is weird. And me, I was just going about my day. But then, like, something told me, I think you should go home. And so now I started my journey home. And I remember I took a matatu. I was taking a matatu because I was moving from South B now to East Land. And now, when I got to town from South B, I took a double M, and I remember that time I had a very tiny phone. I think it was a hand-me-down. I don't remember what make, but it was a very tiny phone. And I don't know. I think that there was a radio in double M, which is rare because double M's just never have anything playing. But now I remember someone saying the results are out or something. I don't know who said, or I was missing. I can't recall. So now me, I took my tiny phone out, and I, you know, you send your car, you send your index number to that number, and then you wait for the message to come back. So I remember I sent my index number to that car number, and then it did not take even 2 seconds, and he was back. I'm like, I'm gonna cry, Namatatu. I'm gonna cry. But we hadn't even reached home yet. We hadn't reached home. So I was like, okay, should I open it? No, anxiety is eating me up. Anxiety is about to just take me out. Like I was going to die. So I was like, you know what? I can't wait. Let me just open. So now to open, I'm seeing my marks. I'm like, are they sure they have the right person? This is crazy. And now in my head, let me tell you, in my head, because like I told you before, I had never been the best person in my class. So in my head, I saw the marks. I was like, I think the first person must have 490 then. If I have this marks, I think the first person has 490. They have 490. And then crazy that I was very close to the person who used to be the best in my class. I think he messaged me his marks or something. But I got to know, and then I was like, how is it lower than mine? That makes no sense. There has to be a mistake. Like, Nick, please.
Please. Quit playing with me.
There is a mistake. And then now when I got home, like we were already in school. Like everyone was in school. I was being told, actually, if you should get home, you just enter school. And now suddenly the interviews. Kidogo Kidogo Citizen Tonight, like me, I was still choked. I'm like, okay, me, I was just about to celebrate with my family, and we just have a meal together, and we move on. Like everything happened so fast. It was crazy. But yeah, that was that. So I usually just don't like identifying with that particular moment, not that I'm not thankful, but because it just wasn't what I wanted. Like, I just never want to be in the spotlight or never want people in my business. But now here, everyone is in my business. Like, you know,
literally.
You go to, remember, uh-huh. I remember the first day of going to school. So everyone is looking green, everyone is looking, you know, weird and shit. Okay, I don't curse, I'm sorry. Everyone is looking weird and scared and new and excited, obviously. And then now, like, there were just like nags with other. Now, when you make a new friend, now see, you start talking because you're just talking about your expectations, asking each other which class, which house are you in. So I remember there were just nudges and, you know, everyone is just pointing at you like, you know, they've seen you before. And I'm just thinking, guys, I'm just a normal girl, and I don't even think I'm that smart. Like, why you guys, like, why, what is up? What is up? So I just remember, like, I was the most known person in that cohort. Like, we reported D1, and they're usually 3 days for reporting, depending on their class. They have like a system they arrange, and now so a certain class has come on the first day, and then the next day, just for easy logistics and everything. So I just remember being the most known person, and mind you, there were other people who'd be more famous than I should have been, because we had daughters of, you know, big people in society, and you just wouldn't miss it because they, you know, it's so evident that this person is so and so's, you know, kin. Yeah. So now me being the most known person, it wasn't it for me. It was a lot of unnecessary pressure, and it wasn't for me. I just knew that it really wasn't me. Like me, I wasn't those people for Sijui. We get Sijui how many marks every day. Like we are fighting for top three in class, top five overall. No. It was just really hard for even the teachers to come to terms with that, for everyone to come to terms with that. But I was like, yo, that's me, and this is my life, and no one will define it apart from myself. And even that's why, even after form four, and it, like, everyone was like, oh, you know, you have to do law, you know, doing any other course would be, you know, they call it wasted brains, quote unquote, because they don't believe someone to be smart doing any other thing that's not the, you know, the things that we know should be done by smart people. Like, it's a messed up system, and me, I'm fighting the system. That's why I'm doing what I am doing, what I love, despite, you know, questions and glares and sneers.
But at that time, how were you able to separate yourself from wanting that academic validation and wanting to please everyone? And because I'm sure the pressure is so much, especially being Kenya One. So everyone in that first exam is wondering, is waiting, okay, so Kenya One. So let's see, you know, if he's really Kenya One. You know, so for you, first, how did you handle that pressure? And how are you able to actually separate yourself and say, as you keep, as you've kept on saying that you create your own path and you won't succumb to other post pressures of what you should become.
Absolutely. Okay, I many people will just be like, how am I saying this? But genuinely, I'm so grateful for my school, and I love it so much. Like, Kenya High is like the best school ever. Yeah, I know people will have different opinions, and that's fine, because I feel like everyone had different experiences. But for me, mine was one of just growth and just like wearing my big girl, you know, pants very early, because now here I am, and now there's a whole write up of what I need to be, of what I should do, of what I need to become, all of that. And I just looked at it and said no, and my school didn't like didn't make it hard for me to exist as me, and in the way that I wanted to exist, which was an amazing thing. And also, I feel like after the first term, everyone was like, ah, you know, clean slate, let's move on. And so now that made it really easy. But for me now, obviously, the mental aspect of it had to, like, you know, we had to take time before we are like, okay, we are really doing this, and we're not, you know, pleasing people, and now we have to just, you know, move on. So I'd say my school did not make it hard for me to exist, because there's so many smart and brilliant people. So they have those ones to look at. Yay. So there's that. So I feel like I'm just really grateful for Kenya High School, genuinely.
And your folks?
The African parents are very, very fun people, actually, because them they usually just imagine things will look up the way they'd like them to, but then sometimes that's not it, and that's fine. And for me, my parents are just usually very supportive of what I want to do. Yes, they will air their views on, you know, what I should become, or when I was in high school, like, you know, the number I should be and everything, but they wouldn't, they just never, like, you know, forced it, and or made it like a whole thing. Like, for them, it was just like, okay, you know me, I want you to be a lawyer, but, you know, I still support you in whatever it is that you do. So it's just coming into an understanding. And, you know, you also have, like, I wouldn't say you also have to show that your parents like what you're able to do or anything, but then they also believe that I am able to do anything that I set my mind to. So they just have always been supportive, but obviously with a hint of, but you know, you can still you can still be a lawyer or something. Yeah. So yeah.
And now with that, now even with the engineering conversation and no and even the law conversation now where they wanted you to do law at first, so is it an easy conversation or did they revert back to, you know, African parenting and, you know, we want you to do law? Because obviously there's probably to them this they feel like there's some wisdom to that, which probably they have in their own eyes. But to you, what, as you said, kept on saying that it's your own path, what made you very strong-willed and decide that I know what I'm doing and I am ready for the consequences and repercussions of this path that I'm taking?
Okay, I remember when we were picking the subject. Okay. I remember when we were picking the sub not subject, not subject. Actually, yeah, we can start from subject. I remember when we were picking the subject, and everyone is always like, you do three senses and humanity so that if things go bad, the tale. Everyone knows the tale. Everyone knows the tale. Everyone knows the tale. And I remember like the previous physics exam, it was so bad. It was so bad. And it's these ones which are bad, like everything is glaring. Like all of these other subjects are like really good. And then there's physics that's like, my sister in Christ, what are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I remember our physics, not lecturer, teacher used to be very extra in this sense that he would come with that bale of papers and then read out everyone's, everyone's whatever mark. And so it was very interesting to be. And then now I remember if you had a very low mark, it like there's a time he threw the paper to someone. I'm not sure. I might be speaking hearsay, but it was just very hostile. Like he'd come and start with like 98, 78, all of that. And then we keep going lower and lower and lower and lower. So I remember that that was the last exam before now we needed to choose. And I remember like my physics teacher actually had, when there was an acad there's usually an academic clinic before you choose with your parents. And I remember my physics teacher was like, oh no, she has to take three senses. Even if she's not doing so well. Yeah, just to take three senses. Me in my head, I'm like, okay, who is doing that physics? Because it's certainly not me. It is not me. So I just said no to that. So you can just see how already like in Form 2, I was already saying no to the pressures, like, oh, you're really smart, you can still do three senses, meaning you're not doing really well. I said no, and I did not speak that physics. And now from then on is when I was like, I can actually be an ambassador. Like I said it to myself, and I didn't even know what it entails. I was just like, yeah, can just be an ambassador. Yeah, I should. Yeah, that's a good idea. And then now from there, I was like, okay, you know what? Yeah, that's what you're going to do. But obviously, in those the choosing things, you just have to write things that are pleasing the parents maybe. And then but deep down that you have to exist in like in a space where you will be what you want to be, you'll be what you professed that you want to be. So yeah, I just always know, like for me it's always like a thought that comes to me and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's what we're going to do, and we follow through. That's just usually my confirmation. Like when it comes to me, like a thought, and then I think about it, and I'm like, okay, what steps do I need to make to get there? These are the steps. So you follow through, and just that's how I've always done these things. Yeah.
So has been creating your own path easy in a
Yes.
sense, or would you say not too
Easy.
easy?
No.
And
Okay.
has it ever been seen as rebellious at any point? Now that you're not following the conventional path that everyone else would want you to follow, yeah.
I don't know if people call it rebellion, but it's always like, what are you doing? Like, there's always just that, yes, you're doing, bachelor's in of arts in international relations, but don't you think you should? There's always that, and that now makes the mental aspect of it very difficult in this in the sense that you just question yourself. You'll be like, oh, maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe I'm making a mistake. Like, okay, should I, circle back and, go back to the drawing board? But then also, if at all I'm making a mistake, I know that I'm in a position to go back and circle back and fix it, or just, disaster manage. But now the outside, world now makes noise and kind of wants to, throw you out of your path and out of balance and make you question yourself and all of that. So it just really makes the mental aspect of it very difficult. But in terms of execution, I wouldn't say that it's a struggle because my heart is in it. So there's that. Yeah.
Interesting. And now also with that, you talked about earlier, which you talked about not even earlier when we had our conversation about how you have now managed to separate yourself from academic validation completely. How are you able to do that? Especially for a lot of guys who try to do that, but at the end of the day, you still like for me, you still end up gravitating towards wanting this despite you saying you don't care. But if you ever get a bad grade, you're just like, shucks, no. Like, it really affects your youth.
Yeah.
At the end of the world, when really, it shouldn't matter that much. So for you, how are you able
Absolutely.
To... Yeah.
Okay. I feel like it just comes down to you as a person and you just remembering that the fact that there's no A on that paper, the fact that there's no, you know, A minus, B plus, or just any grade that is desirable to you doesn't take away from you being intelligent or smart. Like, I realized that at a really early age, and I feel like that's the thing that has helped me not be like, you know, oh my God, like so fixated on, you know, getting a, you know, 4.0 GPA. No. Like, we're just enjoying the course as is. Doing the work, putting in the work. And, you know, if a 4-point GPA comes, amazing. If it doesn't, that's also okay. But just at the end of the day, remember that you put in the work. I feel like that's the thing that has helped me separate, you know, that academic validation and, you know, what exactly it is that I'm doing. Because I always know that I've put in the work. So if it didn't work out, I can have myself to thank that I tried. I mean, I did. I put in the work. So I feel like when you just have a clear conscience of what you did, it just gets easy to not be fixated on that A grade or, you know, the A minus, the B plus, or just the grade that's desirable to you. When you know, when you know deep down, I woke up, put in the work, attended all the classes, submitted assignment, you know, read all of that stuff. So that's what I usually do to separate.
Interesting.
Save myself from just being fixated on clean is 4.0s, all of that. Yes. But I wouldn't say it's easy. It just comes with a deep level of understanding of yourself, and also self acceptance plays a big part of it as well.
So am I accepting that I'm not too smart, or what am I?
So accepting that things might not always go your way, and that's okay, and that's okay. We try another day. We live to try another day. It's not accepting that, oh, you're not too smart. It's just accepting, oh, you know, we just stumbled a bit on this grid, but, you know, we keep moving. Like, I just usually don't like staying on the ground when, you know, when you're falling down. You don't stay there. You pick yourself up and put on your big girl pants or your big boy pants, and you walk. You take the walk and go and keep going. You keep going. Yes.
Something that us gym rats say is focus on the journey and not the end goal. Because when you focus the journey, as you said, you enjoy it more. Because you said if you put in the work, you've done your best,
yes,
really the great things define all you've done. Because someone was even saying, probably you've done a whole unit and the teacher said to test only two topics. Yet, there's a vast, there are several other topics that you really knew well that probably weren't tested. So does that mean that you're not good in this particular unit or module because you weren't able to regurgitate this information, these two topics, you know? So what you mean... That makes a lot of sense. And
absolutely.
Even as we wind up, I want to ask you, you talked about at some point giving back to Eastlands by then when I talked about the library thing, you said that's part of the plan. So talk to me a bit more about that. What is this grand plan that you have for for Kenya, for now you're trying to be a diplomat. I mean, then you must have a plan for Kenya, for probably Iceland, for probably yourself. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you should be expecting from Tracy soon?
We can't say soon, Billy. Your new pressure. Your new
pressure. Soon is 10 years. 20 years.
Okay.
Yes.
First and foremost, I can say that the first thing that I believe I believe is contributing towards like the goal that I have for my country, especially, is taking part in research work, in the sense of, at this time we have a situation, we have a unique situation of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we are just 2 years into a normal world, like we are slowly going back into it, but clearly we are seeing that really it's not as easy as, you know, as we thought it would be, especially in terms of the economy. So I was privileged enough to do a research project on the same, and my main area of focus was the sustainable development goals and finding a way that they can be nationalized, because, you know, these are UN sustainable development goals and they are meant for the whole world, but then when you come to Kenya, we see that the situation is not as it will be in maybe, let's say, England or something. So we have to sit down as you know, a think tank, sit down as, you know, future people in the advocacy work, and see, I mean, and find ways on how we can navigate, you know, a plan to just make the sustainable development goals make sense in our country, because we can't sit down and say we will work on all the 17, yet, you know, we are struggling with starvation in Northeastern. So we have to sit down and focus on the main aspect of these sustainable development goals that we can tap into, that will bring results and will make sense for the country. So taking part in research work is, you know, part of the big plan. And now when we get to the positions of quote unquote power, we'll be able to now execute, we'll be in a position to execute and implement and just, you know, let all these plans, let all these ideas materialize at the end of the day. And then the other thing, I'm very passionate about books. I'm passionate about mental health. I'm passionate about music. So I am just thinking of a way to mesh all those three things together and kind of form something that will just make sense. But then obviously the easier thing to start with will be a library or increasing in the school libraries, increasing, you know, elsewhere. So there's that. And then obviously something that I've always wanted to do, and I think I mentioned this to you, is advocate for therapy, especially using music. I don't know how possible that is. I'll have to research and come up with something that makes sense. And yeah, so basically that's the plan.
It actually does make sense. I have a friend who's actually doing a degree in that. So maybe I can even link you up to see how possible it is, because I believe in a world of many possibilities, a world where the young people, you guys as the young people, can and will change the society for the better.
Yeah.
People keep on saying the future is in safe hands, and I am a firm believer of that. Just as some of the things you've let us know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it makes a lot of sense. So let me let the listeners tweet at us at the Busharian Pod, for us at the Good, the Bad, and Busharian, and tell us what are some of the things they've loved about this episode, some of the things, especially Tracy's friends, you know, about Tracy that she opened up the podcast
before. they will kill me for this. I will start sending in my apologies. I'll be like, I'm sorry, guys.
Know your place, guys. And yeah, your parents, but they can have a lawyer in the family if Tracy wanted.
Imagine anything. They do, because my sister is doing law.
Really?
So yeah, objective achieved.
Touché.
So they're good. They're good. They're good. Yeah.
So have a lovely week ahead, folks, and cheers.